is your moderator, Dana Rodriguez.
Thank you very much, Debbie, and welcome everybody at Minds Over Matter. We hope you had a very lovely day today and can give us an hour of your time tonight, because Minds Over Matter is an audience participation quiz program. So, that being said, we hope you can call and participate, or at least listen. Our number is area code 415-841-4134. Again, that's area code 415-841-4134. We'll be taking questions and giving you questions on current events, movies, history, literature, geography, television, radio, classical music, etc., etc. And again, that number is 415-841-4134. I do want to remind you of our email address, which is mindsovermatter@yahoo.com. Again, that's mindsovermatter@yahoo.com, and that's one word, mindsovermatter. And if you would like to hear our show online, you can do that anywhere in the world as we know it today, simply by going to kalw.org. That's kalw.org. If you like a podcast of the show, the ever-reliable Debbie Kennedy is here, and she will do her usual splendid job. And so that should be available reasonably soon after our show tonight, along with some of our older classic shows. So that being said, if for some reason you don't get the podcast, and I'm not talking about KLW because it always goes up on KLW. I'm talking about the iTunes and stuff like that. You know, send me an email and I'll pass it along. So,
what are some of our older classic shows? I didn't know that. I'd like to hear some of them.
You would?
Yeah.
Well,
especially the classic ones.
Go to the KLW website.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the ones where I was not on.
Oh, yeah. Those are the only ones we put up. And, okay, once more, that number is area code 415-841-4134. So we're going to start with a round of introductions and then a round of questions. And here's the first. Jerry Nachman was happy to hear that Candlestick Park finally landed Paul McCartney to play the stadium's farewell concert. But perhaps Ringo or Yoko is still available to open the new 49ers stadium in Santa Clara.
Thank you, Dana. Joshua Cosman spent the weekend savoring what is best in life, crushing his enemies, seeing them driven before him, and hearing the lamentations of their women.
It's what I do.
Especially the last part.
All of it. It's all good. Our moderator, Dana Rodriguez, has no interest in buying the Clippers. But if the Encyclopedia Britannica comes up for sale, he may go as high as $50 if it includes all of the volumes.
So, and what were you doing this weekend that you wanted to hear the lamentations of their women?
Crushing my enemies.
Okay.
I'm living the life. I'm living the Conan the Barbarian life.
Okay, that's right.
That's
okay.
Conan the Barbarian's
creed. Yeah, that's right.
Didn't get it either. That makes me feel
well.
Better. Okay.
It's an important guideline for me in life.
I can understand that. And Jerry, we'll begin with you.
Okay. What is the only movie title shared by an Oscar-nominated Best Picture and an Oscar-nominated Best Documentary Feature? One is
No relation at all to each other.
No, Best Picture is an older movie, and the documentary is a newer movie.
Hmm. Can you give us an idea how old the picture is? There have been a lot of movies nominated for Best Picture.
Yeah, well, that's true.
No, he said it won the Best Picture.
No,
he said nominated.
Nominated.
Oh, they're both.
Both just nominated.
I see. Okay.
Okay, I would say the movie is.
You're always usually about 10 years off when you do this. So
40s or 50s.
40s or 50s.
Okay.
I see. And
the documentary is fairly recent?
Yeah. The last decade, I think.
40s or 50s. And. Okay. Why don't you read that once more?
What is the only movie title shared by an Oscar-nominated Best Picture and an Oscar-nominated Best Documentary Feature?
But neither one of them won.
No, they're both very well, pretty well known. Yeah.
Are they?
The movie a little more than the documentary, but
surprisingly.
You'll know the documentary feature.
Okay. Huh. All right. Is the documentary made by somebody very well known, like Earl Morris?
I don't think so. No.
No?
All right. I don't think so. I saw it, but I didn't.
Oh, you saw it?
I think I did, yeah.
So is it about Rodgers and Hart?
No, I do have other interests.
Do you?
Yeah.
Okay, fine. And Josh, why don't you go ahead, too?
Well, I had an Oscar question queued up, too, but I'll skip to something else. We'll come back to that. What are the four national capital cities on the African continent that begin with the letter K? I know Jerry loves
Jerry wanted the Oscar question, I think.
Well, we'll come back to it. The night is long.
The four
but
countries?
There's four national capitals on the continent of Africa that begin with the letter K.
Go ahead, Jerry.
Congo.
These are capital cities. Capital cities.
Okay, I don't know. I have no
Kinshasa.
Idea.
Kinshasa is one. Take another one. We'll leave the other two out.
Oh, boy. Well, I have to think of myself about this.
Oh, all right.
I'll stop. You can't go.
So we'll leave it out for listeners. What are the four? There are four national capitals.
Oh, Khartoum.
Khartoum is one, exactly. So there's four national capitals in Africa on the continent, beginning with the letter K. Dana got Khartoum and Kinshasa. What are the other two?
I think I got the easiest two, actually.
Yeah. No, not so much.
Really? Oh, okay.
I don't know.
Cairo,
sure.
Anyway, all right. And, I guess I'll do a question here. We'll take a call. All right. I'm afraid it's an Oscar question, but only two people, and I looked through the whole list. This is the only ones I could find. Only two people have been nominated for acting Oscars for portraying a Dickens character. Only two people in the history of the Academy Awards have been nominated because, you know, everything he ever wrote was made into a movie. But only two people have been nominated for Oscars for portraying a Charles Dickens character.
W.C. Fields or Mr. Micawber?
No.
Alec Guinness for something or other.
I don't know.
He is one of them, but you have to get the right role.
He played Fagin.
Pip in Great Expectations.
No, he didn't play Pip.
Oh, he didn't play
he did play Fagin, but he wasn't nominated for that.
He played
a friend of Pip's in that.
He did play. Herbert Pocket, he played. Herbert Pocket.
And got nominated? Is that one of them?
No, he did not. Right. No.
So it's not John.
It is
John
not for Great Expectations, okay? So, okay. I mean, that's what Jerry was thinking.
Okay.
I'm going to skip from. How about Oliver Reed in Oliver?
No.
Well, okay.
No.
How about Ron Moody in Oliver?
Moody in Oliver.
Very good.
Okay, there we go.
All right, there you go. Yes. Right. Ron Moody in Oliver is one. That's
Fagin.
1968.
Yeah. Yep.
And I will give you a hint and say that the other nomination is after that.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. So only two people were nominated for Oscars for portraying Charles Dickens characters in the movies. Joshua got one, which is Ron Moody and Oliver, who is the other.
But you said the other is John Mills, right?
No, not John Mills. No, it's after Oliver, actually.
Okay, yeah.
The movie was made after Oliver.
And did you say this is for best actor, not best actress, or did you not specify?
This is for best supporting actor.
Okay. So it's a man.
Yes, a man.
All right.
Second. What are the two most visited tourist sites outside of London if you were to go to England? In other words, so in the top of all the top tourist sites in England, what are the two top ones that are outside of London?
Well, Stonehenge, obviously.
No.
Seriously?
I'm serious. Yeah.
The Old Globe Theater.
No.
No, that's in...
Mm-mm.
That's outside of London.
Is it?
I think it is.
No, that's not outside.
How about
Stratford? Well, Stratford.
No.
No, the Globe?
No.
The Globe is in Stratford, isn't it?
There is a Globe in Stratford. Well, yeah, but the old Globe is the one in London. That's the one that they,
So I'm going to guess then.
But it's nothing. It's neither one of those.
Okay.
Canterbury Cathedral.
No.
Okay.
Bath.
No. Okay. So what are the two most visited tourist attractions in England that are outside of London?
This is a great question. I wish I knew the answer.
Yeah.
Blenheim Castle.
That's a good guess, but no.
What's Blenheim Castle?
That's Churchill's
residence.
Family.
Mm. How about Bletchley Park? That's where I'd go.
I don't think people want to go to the Codebreakers.
That's where I want to go.
Codebreakers House.
I don't know if it's in London.
I don't think even know if that's a museum now, is it?
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay. Yeah, but no.
What was the name of that?
Bletchley Park?
No. Oh, no.
Which? Oh, no.
Yeah. What? Okay.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Ever Matter.
Here from Union City. I wasn't on last week.
I'm sorry, what was not on last week?
I wasn't on last week.
Oh, well, yes.
We get the show anyway.
We missed you, though.
Oh, yeah. Got a couple questions.
All right.
Here's my first one. Which film producer actually identified himself as a mystery guest the night prior to What's My Line at a restaurant to Dorothy Kilgallen and forced her to disqualify herself?
Say the last part. I didn't hear the slowly, please.
Well, which film producer accidentally identified himself as a mystery guest the night prior to What's My Line at a restaurant to Dorothy Kilgallen and forced her to disqualify herself?
Well, I've seen just about every What's My Line available as far as the mystery
guest.
I remember that,
but I can't remember who it was.
The most prominent film producer I can think of that was on the show was Daryl Zanuck.
No, it wasn't Zanuck.
Okay.
I was going to say that. Well, Jack Warner?
Nope. He was an independent, I'll tell you that.
David Selznick?
Nope.
He was an independent. Oh, Sam Goldwyn, I bet.
Yes.
Okay, all right.
Here's my second question. It's a fairly easy one. Jerry will probably know the answer to this one. What was the only series that CBS canceled during their infamous World Purge that didn't go into summer reruns?
The only, say it again, please.
Once more.
What was the only series CBS canceled during their infamous World Purge that didn't go into summer reruns?
Oh, you mean when they canceled, like, Green Acres and Petticoat Junction and all those
shows?
Yeah, but
all the other shows that weren't non-Earl-oriented.
Well, the Ed Sullivan Show.
Right.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah, James Aubrey came in and cleaned out
Green Acres.
That wasn't James Aubrey. It was Robert Wood.
That's right. Yeah, Green Acres.
Yeah,
and
Robert Wood and Fred Silverman, though. Then all of a sudden, Robert Wood called Bob Wood and said, well, I'm afraid we're going to have to drop the show.
Yeah, right.
Huh.
Yeah.
All right, thank you.
In my book.
So Sullivan never went into reruns for anything?
Maybe toward the very end.
Okay.
He was very proud of the fact that they didn't go on a summer hiatus or anything during the show's long run.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Yeah, this is Max in San Francisco.
Hi, Max.
Smoking is forbidden on all city property in San Francisco except in one place. Where is it?
Hmm. City property. Okay.
This is a famous place, too. Where is it? It's one place where you can smoke without any interference.
Is there a specific reason for this, would you say?
One might surmise. I don't know it.
Like, is there a courtyard at the city hall or something where the city employees can go and smoke?
It's similar, but it's open to the public.
It's open to the public. I know John Boehner goes out in his balcony and smokes.
Uh-huh.
Let's see. It's open to the public. All right.
Is this a medical facility?
No, it's not.
I was thinking pot smoking.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah.
You're talking about tobacco, right?
Well, tobacco and other things.
Okay, all right.
I smoke weed there regularly, but...
So there were a lot of people who were smoking marijuana on Hippie Hill a few weeks ago. Is it anything to do with Golden Gate Park?
No, it's not.
Okay.
Smoking is forbidden in Golden Gate Park? I had no idea.
Good luck with that.
This is in a building.
Oh, I beg your pardon. Inside. Okay. I misunderstood. Okay.
In a building, a city-owned building.
Wow.
Coit Tower.
I'm stumped.
Oh, okay. Oh, Debbie suggested the Officers Club at the Presidio.
I don't think so, because that isn't actually city-owned property.
Okay. Oh, yeah, I guess that's National Park property, isn't it? We don't know.
You stumped us.
Yeah.
You want me to give it to you?
Yeah, please.
It's the Loggia at the Opera House.
You are still smoking at the Loggia in the Opera House?
I did last night.
Oh, my God. I'm very surprised.
Was it legal to do it, though?
Have you seen people smoking in there?
Maybe shouldn't have done that. Now everybody will want to get in.
I had no idea. I'm going to have to follow up on that. That's a hot tip.
Yeah, Josh goes there frequently, so you should.
It's just that you didn't get it. It's just not that you got away with it.
No, there were our ashtrays set out. Everybody does it, and I think the reason it's allowed is because rich people do it.
Well,
that would explain a lot.
Yeah,
that's a good scoop.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye bye. There's an article for you.
Yeah.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello, is this me?
It is you.
This is Bart in San Francisco.
Hi, Bart.
My guess for a by an African capital that begins with a K at Kigali, which is capital of Rwanda.
Right. Correct. Well done.
Thank you very much.
And Jerry, it's your turn.
Okay. And in 2010, a piece of sports memorabilia was auctioned off for $4.3 million, more than any other item in sports history. It was not a piece of equipment, a letter, a contract, a baseball card, or anything previously owned by a famous athlete. What was it?
So it was nothing that was previously owned, or was it something that was used by a famous athlete?
No.
Sounds to me like it's a relic of some ballpark that was being
mantled,
discommissioned, decommissioned.
No.
Okay.
Like the gold record for who's on first or something like that?
That would be good. No, it isn't that. It's something equally unique, though.
Okay.
It's...
Is this something you would read about, like, in the Baseball Hall of Fame or something like that?
No, it's not baseball.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It has nothing to do with baseball.
Oh.
I'll give you a big hint. That's a big hint.
All right. Read the question once more.
In 2010, a piece of sports memorabilia auctioned off for $4.3 million, more than any other item in sports history. It was not a piece of equipment, a letter, a contract, I said baseball card, it's not baseball, or anything previously owned by a famous athlete. What was it? And it has nothing to do with baseball.
But it's something you can hold in your hand?
Yeah.
Nothing to do.
I'll give you a further hint because it originated in 1891.
It was the first basketball basket, the peach basket that what's his name, whose name I can't think of, who invented basketball.
YMCA.
No, the guy who invented basketball, yeah, the Abner Doubleday.
James Naismith.
There you go.
There you go.
Yeah.
Not his peach basket, huh?
No.
Okay.
All right.
Very
I'm
good
done.
Guess, though.
Thank you.
Leave it out. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
It's Harry and Susan in Berkeley.
Hi, Harry. Hi, Susan.
Your question about the visited places outside of London?
Yes.
Stonehenge is one.
It is not. And that's one of the things that surprised me, but it is not.
Surprises us, too.
And this
okay,
is...
Okay, we'll try two more.
Okay.
Windsor Castle.
No.
And Highclere Castle.
No. And this is surprise. It's this information is supplied by the British Tourist Board.
And you said England, not UK.
England.
Right?
I'm talking about England proper. But there were a couple things on the list from Scotland too. So I guess they're talking about Great Britain.
Is Highclere Castle where they filmed Downton Abbey?
The old George Washington ancestral home in England?
No.
Hey, we've given it our best shot.
All right. Well, thank you though.
What was your answer to me? I said the castle that they filmed Downton Abbey in.
Oh, that's the Carnarvon. That's the seat of the Carnarvon family. Is that Highclere? I'm not sure the exact name is.
I would guess that. Yeah.
But it's not.
No,
it's
it
not
isn't that. Okay.
And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Hope you're enjoying the show. Our panel tonight is well-known Bay Area author Jerry Nachman from the San Francisco Chronicle, their classical music critic, Joshua Cosman, who's going to get right on that smoking in the loggia item. And I am your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. And you're listening to us on 91.7 FM. That's KALW, your local public radio station. And the number to join us is area code 415-841-4134 with a question or answer, 415-841-4134. And Josh, why don't you go ahead?
Sure. So over the years, many actors have won Best Actor Oscars for playing real-life people, Idi Amin and so on and so forth, mostly in recent years, but throughout the history. Four of them were Jewish, not the actors, the people.
And people they played.
Yeah. So take one each. Tell me an actor who won a Best Actor Oscar for playing a real-life Jewish person.
Well, George Arliss for Disraeli.
There we go. That's the first.
Edward G. Robinson.
No.
Never won.
Never won.
Never was even nominated. That's terrible.
I always get to Paul Muni or Paul Lucas, either one. They're both Jewish, I think.
No, I'm not looking for a Jewish actor. I'm looking for someone.
Oh, character.
An actor. Not a character, a real life person portrayed on screen by an actor. So George Arliss, who I assume was not Jewish, played Disraeli and got the Oscar for that.
Oh, so you want the character, the Jewish character that played.
Right. I want the actor who played the Jewish
character.
And
this takes in actor, actress, supporting
actor? No, just actor.
Only actor.
I started looking at the actresses and there was, you know, a lot. The first person that shows up is whoever it is from the Great Ziegfeld, who was sort of half Jewish on her mother's side. And I thought, you know, all right, it's enough. One question is.
Okay. Only actor. Okay.
Best actor.
I almost said Anna Held, who...
That's who I'm talking about.
Oh, all right.
Right. She's,
okay.
She's completely Jewish, but hit it, and...
Anna Held is Jewish?
Right. Yeah.
The Swedish Nightingale?
No, that's Jenny Lind.
Oh, that's
Jenny Lind. Okay.
I get them confused all the time.
Yeah. All right, okay.
So George Arliss won a Best Actor for playing a real-life Jew.
Okay.
Three other actors have done it. Who are they?
Okay.
Okay. Huh. How spread out is this?
Not very, aside from George Arliss. The other three are all bunched together-ish.
Really? You mean George Arliss is the one that's
it's the outlier.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
George Arliss was, what, 1921?
1929.
29, okay. If you prefer.
All right. Okay.
All right.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello?
Hi, you're on.
Hi, this is Anne from San Francisco.
Hi, Anne.
I have a guess for the most visited spot in England.
Outside of London.
Outside of London.
Yes, go ahead.
How about Liverpool?
Not Liverpool. Oh, because of the Beatles.
Good guess.
Right, but no.
Okay, that's all I have.
Well, thank you, though.
Thanks.
Would one of those actors be Streisand for playing Fanny Bryce?
No, this is best actor only.
Actor.
Just men.
Actor. Oh,
best actor.
Oh, okay.
I didn't go into the actresses. I'll save that for another week.
Charlton Heston for Ben-Hur.
Not a real-life person.
Oh, it has to be a real-life person.
That's what I'm saying.
Oh, I thought it just had to be Jewish.
No, I'm saying of the actors...
We don't know that for sure, do we?
...who have played real-life historical figures.
All right, okay.
Good guess,
real
though.
Real-life historical figures.
Like Disraeli.
Right. Okay.
Didn't Streisand win? Or didn't she share that with Katharine Hepburn?
She did. But it's but the I'm only one's best actor.
Oh, no, you don't want actors. Okay. Yeah. I use actor in its
of course,
modern...
in its broadest sense, to speak. Okay. All right, so this was in the paper this week. This is a Harris poll that was done in April. And so they did a Harris poll of American adults, and they asked them to list their 10 favorite books. So these are American adults... Out of all races and creeds, and they asked them to list their 10 favorite books. They're all fiction and except one.
I was going to say, well, yeah. Some of us would classify that one as fiction, too.
So you saw this article?
No, I'm sure that I know what number one is because I've met Americans before.
So I'll give you each a couple of guesses.
Oh, the Bible is number one.
The Bible's number, of course.
Yeah, okay.
This being America, how people are.
So they asked for their favorite books.
Their 10 favorite books. Yes.
Yeah.
American adults. All races and creeds across the country.
So this is a consensus of these poll, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Well, The Great Gatsby always gets named in everything.
Yes. The Great Gatsby is number 10.
Yeah.
I'll give you another guess.
Okay.
Hmm.
50 Shades of Grey. No.
No.
No. I'm just kidding.
I'm trying to think what people might say.
Think schlock.
Not necessarily.
They're talking to a pollster. They're not going to tell the truth. But many of them said Harry Potter in some variety.
Well, the article about the Harris poll made a point of saying these are unprompted responses. In other words, you know, it's this. You just spoke honestly about what you
enjoyed. Didn't people say Harry Potter and the whatever it is?
Yes, and Harry Potter is they include the whole series.
Sure,
basically.
That's what I figured.
So yes, the Harry Potter series.
Yeah. All right.
So we have the Bible and the Harry Potter series and the Great Gatsby. And again, this is a Harris poll done just last month of adult Americans and their favorite books, their 10 favorite books. And I'm going to ask a little addendum to that question. There are three. They asked the same question in 2008. And there have been a couple of changes on the list. And what I'd like to know, who are the three authors that dropped off the list since 2008?
Since 2008?
Three well-known authors have dropped off the 10 favorite books list since 2008.
Hmm.
Yes. So who would those be? So once more, this is a Harris poll done, adult Americans, and they asked them their 10 favorite books. So far we have the Bible and the Harry Potter series and the Great Gatsby. This poll was done previously in 2008. And there are three very well-known authors who have dropped off the list since then. So who would they be? I'll give you one guess.
Catcher in the Rye, of course. That's always named, too.
That is still one of the 10 favorite books.
Yeah.
Yes, Catcher in the Rye. Very good.
Are you saying that Dickens has dropped off the list?
Dickens was never on the list.
Okay.
They're not necessarily American novels.
They are, by and large, American. So put that to rest. And the number to join us is area code 415-841-4134. That's 415-841-4134. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Linda Nelsarito.
Hi, Linda.
Hi. Okay, as to Jerry's question a few minutes ago about the auction.
Yeah.
Okay, it pays to read. So that was the handwritten rules for basketball. Written by James Naismith.
That's right.
Okay.
Very good.
So you were close, Josh, but not close enough.
Yeah. All right.
He had 13 rules that he wrote down in 1891.
Right. So I'm curious about the movie question about the Jewish
characters
who were portrayed. Would one of them be a Rothschild by any chance?
No.
Well, they did make a movie about the Rothschilds, but...
Okay.
Okay. All right, and I just want to throw out a guess on the books for the addendum. Would Updike be one who's been thrown out?
No, he would not. That's an interesting guess, but no.
Okay. Well, I have a question for you guys.
Right.
You know, today the names for cars are not very poetic. They tend to be a lot of letters and numbers and things, but they used to be rather interesting. And it was popular to name cars after animals. So I was wondering how many American cars you could name that are named after animals.
It's like a cheetah. Wasn't there one named not
Ford,
cheetah?
I don't think there was
Ford Mustang.
Oh, Mustang. I forgot about that one. Yeah, of course.
There you go.
Almost all of them are named after...
give me some for examples.
Isn't there a Chevy Cougar? Cougar, yes.
Cougar,
right. It's a Mercury.
There's a Palomino of some kind. Chevrolet?
That sounds right.
There were variations on horses. Stallion? No, I mean, there wasn't a stallion.
No.
No gelding.
Stutz Bearcat.
Oh, Ram, yeah.
What are you laughing?
Was that the real name?
Of course.
What is a bearcat?
It's like a wildcat of
some
kind.
Like a wolverine or something.
Yeah.
Well, you're saying it like everybody knows. I don't know. Yeah.
Hey, you know.
That would be a good name.
That's fine.
Wolverine.
I haven't heard bearcat used in any other context except...
No, you have to have a raccoon skin.
That was a made-up name, I think.
The DeSoto squirrel.
Pinto.
Pinto. Very good.
Oh, Pinto, yes.
Yeah,
of
that's good.
There's some other ones.
Yeah.
How many are there?
Well, there's probably...
Well, obviously there were more than I thought. I thought of about six. So there are several you haven't named.
Yeah.
Tiger, no lion. Bear. No bear.
No bear.
Seemed like it would have to be a fairly powerful animal to be named after.
Well,
don't
yeah.
you think?
Or yeah. fast.
Puma?
Oh,
no.
Yeah,
panther? Panther?
Powerful.
No panther.
Was there a gazelle?
One of them, no. There's one of them that's kind of cute and not powerful oh. that he just named.
Rabbit.
Yeah.
I had a rabbit.
Yeah, yeah.
That's
uh-huh.
right.
You did?
Okay. Yeah, I did.
Uh-huh.
But there are several others that you haven't.
Well, we're not going to hit all of them.
The Chevy Pussycat. No.
No.
Okay. Well, leave it out there, Linda.
Okay.
And we'll let people call in.
Okay, great.
All right.
All right. Thanks.
Thanks. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, yes, Ed, how are you?
Good.
So I have, let's do the audience question first. It is an astronomy question. So if you consider Pluto as one of the planets, you know, before they change it to a minor planet, how many planets that have zero moons, no moons, how many planets does have one moon, and how many planets have two moons? Leave the question to the audience. I think it would be interesting for them. So we need planets that have zero moons, no moons at all. There's two of them, and there is two planets that have one moon.
Earth.
And there's only one planet that has two moons. Do you want to take a guess? It's okay if you take a guess.
Yeah, Earth has one moon.
All right. What is the other planet? What is the other one?
What's the other planet that only has one moon? Is it Mercury or Mars?
No.
Mars has Deimos and Phobos.
Answer, but okay. They're not that.
Venus?
Okay, remember, in the beginning, because I have to give you that, I said if you consider Pluto...
Pluto has a moon. Of course
yeah.
it does. It has... Pluto is the moon, Sharon. And the other one is the planet, actually. But.
Right. Well, yeah. Sharon is the moon of Pluto.
Oh,
okay,
right.
So now we need two planets that have zero moons and one planet that has two moons. Leave that to the audience.
Okay.
Fun for them.
All right.
Okay. They just commented about last time when I talked about the age of Aquarius, somebody called and he said it was the water pier. He is quite right, but this is a symbol of it. What it means is enlightenment. That's the age of science. You know, this was 60s, we're all get, you know, educated about the great age of freedom, free speech, and all that. So it is enlightenment.
Okay.
So my second question, for every 100 blonde you watch in the street, you know, in America, how many of them are truly blondes? And the rest of them are, you know, bottled blondes.
So for every 100 blondes in the United States, how many
yeah, how
are
many of them
truly
blonde?
Yeah.
11.
You know, you damn quite close. Yes, 12%.
Very good.
I know my blondes.
We did very well. We did very well. How can you tell, by the way?
You can't.
Well, if you get the roots.
Listen, you marry them. Okay. Okay. So the second question, which is...
Second, this is fourth.
The third question.
No, this is second for you, really.
Yeah.
Okay, I make it very quick. Okay, right. So what is the... in fast breeder reactors, why they are called fast and why they are called breeders?
I have no idea.
You know, that would be also a beautiful question for the audience.
All right.
To the audience. One last thing I'd like to tell you.
Go for it, audience.
The last 15 minutes of the show, would you please limit your time to about a minute? Because some people take like 5 or 10 minutes at the end of the show, make it real difficult for other people to go through. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
You got a lot of chutzpah there.
he doesn't like for that.
Yeah. And, Jerry, I think it's your turn.
Okay. Who is the first woman to appear on a U.S. postage stamp?
Has this come up on the show? I think it has. Can you say how long ago it was?
It was 1900s. I mean, 19th century.
19th century?
Yeah.
Well, Martha Washington.
No.
Oh, Sacagawea.
No.
Harriet Beecher Stowe.
No.
Pocahontas.
No.
Betsy Ross.
No.
Dolly Madison.
No.
Okay.
All right. Once more.
Who was the first woman to appear on a U.S. postage stamp? I'll give you the year since I've been there. 1893.
Okay. Oops. So we're a little past halfway through the show, so let's repeat any questions that haven't been answered yet. Jerry?
Who was the first woman to appear on
the U.S. postage stamp? You don't have to repeat that.
What is the only movie title shared by an Oscar-nominated Best Picture, a classic movie we all know, and a much more recent Oscar-nominated Best Documentary Feature?
Can you give any hint on that?
Any hints?
Well, yeah.
Well, I gave you a few already. I said one is, let's see, the Oscar-nominated Best Picture. I'm not sure who. I can't tell you who's in it or who directed it. You get it. I can't even. And I told you the either 40s or 50s.
All right.
And the Oscar-nominated Best Documentary Feature, I told you, is in the last 10 years. One word. I'll give you. There's a clue.
What do you mean, one word?
This one-word title.
Both the titles are one word.
Oh.
I mean, the same title is one word, yeah.
Oh, okay. And Josh, you go ahead.
So I'm looking for four actors who won Best Actor, not Actress, Best Actor Oscars for playing real-life historical figures who were Jewish. George Arliss was one. He played Disraeli and won an Oscar for it. Three other actors have played real historical true life figures who were Jewish. Who are they? There are four national capital cities in Africa on the continent whose names begin with K. Three of them are Khartoum, Kigali, and Kinshasa. I'm looking for the fourth.
Okay. And the Harris poll came out last month asking Americans what their 10 favorite books are. And again, so the Harris poll came out asking adult Americans what their 10 favorite books are. So far, we have The Bible and the Harry Potter series, A Catcher in the Rye, and The Great Gatsby. Now, beyond that, there's another question that popped up, at least to me. This same poll was done in 2008, so 6 years ago. And I'd like to know what three famous authors are no longer on the list. Three famous American authors are no longer on the list of the 10 favorite books of all
time. Philip Roth?
No. All right. And outside of London, remember that, what are the two most visited tourist sites in England or Great Britain? Outside of London, what are the two most visited tourist sites in Great Britain?
But they are, in fact, in London. So we don't, I mean, in England, rather. So we don't need to guess the Blarney Stone.
These two do happen to be in England, yes.
Fine.
And the Blarney Stone is... Oh, that is in Northern Ireland, isn't it?
I don't know.
No, that's in Ireland. It's not. Okay, and only two people have been nominated for Academy Awards for portraying a Charles Dickens character. Only two people have been nominated for Academy Awards for portraying a Charles Dickens character. Josh got one, which is, or maybe did Jerry do it?
I got that one.
Okay. In 1968, Ron Moody was nominated for playing Fagin in the musical Oliver.
Did the other actor win or just nominated?
Neither one of them won. And the other nomination was after 1968. So keep that in mind.
After 68?
It was after 68, yeah. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Sandra in West Portal.
Hi, Sandra.
Hi, I think I'm the first person who says, oh, well, you got the question that I was going to ask, because I was going to ask about the Harris poll.
Oh.
And now you took my question. But luckily, I think I have a couple of answers.
Okay.
There for cars, there's an Impala and a Barracuda.
Very good, very good.
And I guess that the first woman on the stamp was Betsy Ross.
No. Dana tried that, too. No.
Oh, I'm sorry. I missed that.
It's perfectly all right.
And so, then the third thing is I have half an answer for the movies. I think there was a movie about George M. Cohan.
There was. And
the actor, I think.
But he was Irish and not
he's
Jewish.
He's Irish, not Jewish.
Not Cohen.
It wasn't C-O-H-A-N.
C-O-H-A-N, yeah.
Oh, pardon me.
That's all right.
That's all right.
A lot of people
I've
think
fought that for years myself.
Yeah. Okay. But, well, back to the thinking then.
The drawing Good. Board. Yes.
All right.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Is the other Dickens character nominee Alec Guinness in Little Dorrit?
It is Alec Guinness and Little Dora. How did you get that?
Well, I love that movie. I've seen it twice.
Oh, really?
It's a long movie.
It's very long.
It's worth it.
Okay, yes. Alec Guinness in 1988 in Little Dora. And is the stamp, is it Queen Isabella?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, good.
Very good.
Tit for tat.
And I've got I'm reminded of another animal car, which is the stingray.
Yeah, good.
There we go.
All right.
Okay.
And, Josh, I think it's your turn.
Oh, all right. Let's see here. So the word panache, we use it to mean suavity or flair, but the literal French meaning is just a feather, like, you know.
Uh-huh.
The question is, what work of literature gave us this secondary or current meaning of the word panache? Where do we get that from?
Cyrano de Bergerac.
Okay.
Yeah.
That was a quickie. Fine. Be that way. In that case, I'll ask you this. What is the most populous country in the world that has no land border with any other nation?
This won't be quite the quickie that...
No, it's not Indonesia. Is it Indonesia? It's not Indonesia.
Are you asking me or telling me?
Indonesia.
It is not Indonesia. Indonesia has some land borders.
Would you say it was an island or a series of islands?
I'm not going to say. I think the fact that it has no land borders with any other nations kind of speaks for itself.
Can you say what the population is?
No.
All right.
Because I don't know.
All right.
It's huge.
Once more.
What is the most populous country in the world that has no land border with any other nation?
Any other nation. The Philippines?
No. Not the Philippines. Good guess,
yes.
But wrong.
I thought it was a pretty good guess. All right.
On your question, Josh, about the Jewish characters, you said they were all kind of clustered in a same time, more or less.
More or less, within 15, 20 years, something like that.
Well, that's not too close.
Well, they're all very far from Disraeli.
Can you give us
the era,
if not the exact decade?
Like a decade, at least?
I believe they're all more or less in the current millennium, except maybe one shortly before the turn of the millennium.
Current millennium.
I mean, they're all the others are all recent.
Should
knock
these over enough.
They're fairly recent.
Well, the more current, the less easy they are
well,
for me to knock over.
Yeah. You should knock these over with a panache.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Think about that. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
I have a few answers.
Okay.
I think the two pictures that Jerry's talking about are both called Spellbound.
Correct.
Oh,
excellent.
Of course.
I've seen
well
both of those,
done.
Too. That's terrible.
Very good.
Nice.
Thank you. I'm glad you got that.
And one of the actors who won a Best Actor for playing a real-life Jew was Adrian Brody.
That is correct. Adrian Brody.
Of course. Yes. Of course. Very good.
Very good.
Very good. Yeah. So we got two to go.
Yeah.
I'm very disappointed that the panel didn't give us a car with an animal name, the Flying Wombat.
Oh, well, that's from a movie I like very much called The Young in Heart, a 1938 movie. Was that a real car at all?
No.
That was a real car, actually called the Wombat. It was called, I forget what it was. It was
a real car, huh?
It did not actually go 60 miles an hour down the dirt track, though.
Because it's a fantastic looking car.
Yes. And anyway, since it's Oscar night, I have an Oscar question as well.
All right. Mm-hmm.
Eight women have won a Best Actress Oscar and have also had a credit as a director on a feature film.
Mm.
And I have either a Dana Rodriguez-style question or a Joshua Kosman-style question.
You mean you have another question?
Two questions about these same women.
Oh, I see. Well, Anne Bancroft is one.
There's my answer. That was the... who was the first woman to do both of these things? That's Anne Bancroft.
Right.
The Joshua Kosman question is about the most recent woman to do both of these things.
Both of what things? I missed that.
Who won a Best Actress Academy Award and also directed a movie.
A feature.
A feature film. Yes.
Okay. Both have in the past 10 years. Her Oscar was for a movie with a color in the title, and her director's credit was for a feature film with a city in the title. If you add four letters to the end of her last name, you get the kind of feature film she directed. So, who is the actress, and what is the kind of feature film she directed?
The kind of feature film.
Going back to the original question, is Diane Keaton one as well?
No.
I know she directed a movie called Heaven.
Oh, that's incorrect, yes. But that was a nonfiction film.
Okay.
I think, technically.
Yeah, I guess it was. You're right. It was nonfiction. Let's see. Who else? Jodie Foster?
Yes.
Yes, I do remember that. She did that.
Are we running through? I mean, didn't Barbara Streisand?
Yes.
Correct.
Mental,
yes,
yeah.
Yes, good.
Okay.
And we have three.
I didn't know if we were trying to get through all of them or just get the most recent one. Let me ask you this: this most recent one that you gave us all those interesting details about. Is the most recent thing she did get? Was it to win the Oscar or to direct a film?
She has a director's credit for feature film before her Best Actress Oscar.
Got it.
Both of it within the past 10 years.
Uh huh.
Recent. Both movies you would know.
Within the last 10 years.
Okay. I'm fascinated, but I can't think of it off the top of my head.
And I phrased her director's credit very particularly. I said that she was a director of a feature film.
A director of a feature film.
Hmm. Because it was more than... It was a...
In other words, she was not the director of a feature film.
Right.
Oh, she was a co-director, perhaps.
Right.
Yes.
All right. Okay. Oh, boy.
I don't know.
No, we don't know. I'm sorry. You have to better fill us in.
Well, Natalie Portman won her Oscar for Black Swan.
Mm-hmm.
She was a director of New York, I Love You. And if you had four letters at the end of Portman, you
get... Portmanteau.
That's correct.
Lovely.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Question. Who was the first classical composer to appear twice on the cover of Time magazine?
First?
Who was the first classical composer to appear twice on the cover of Time magazine?
Tchaikovsky?
No. It was somebody who was alive at the time.
Shostakovich?
No.
Bernstein?
No.
Conductor, you said.
No, composer.
No, composer. Oh, composer. Oh, okay.
Although this person did some conducting.
Composer.
As well.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Who was the first classical composer to appear twice on the cover of Time magazine?
Don't know.
All right. And
well, if you count Gershwin as a sometime classical composer.
Not Gershwin either.
Okay.
Yeah. And the number to join us here on Minds Over Matter with a question or answer is area code 415-841-4134. Again, this is area code 415-841-4134. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Peter in Glen Park.
Hi, Peter.
For cars named after animals, if we allow imaginary animals, how about the Pontiac Firebird?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
And if we allow unofficial names, the VW Beetle.
Yeah,
definitely.
That's good. Yeah, sure. Yeah.
For favorite books, how about Tom Sawyer?
Not Tom Sawyer.
Huckleberry Finn?
Nope.
Has Mark Twain fallen off the list?
Yes. And as far as I know, he wasn't even on the list in 2008.
Oh, okay.
Although there is a 19th century book on there, actually.
Not Moby Dick.
Yes, Moby Dick.
People really?
Yes, Moby Dick.
Wow.
Jeez. Hard to believe.
There's another 19th century book on there as well. So, yes.
I'm not going to try to guess at that.
All right.
For the English attractions,
yes.
Hampton Court or Kew Gardens?
Neither one.
Hmm. York Minster?
No.
Winchester Cathedral?
No. That's in London.
Winchester's cathedral is in Winchester.
Oh, sorry. What's the one in London? Which is the Catholic cathedral?
Westminster.
Westminster, I'm sorry.
Or St. Paul's in London.
Right.
Winchester is the one that swings.
Yeah, exactly. And I have a question about the eight orders of chivalry in England. They are headed by a gentleman usher. we were speaking last week of the gentleman usher of the Black Rod, who heads the Order of the Garter. All eight orders are headed by a gentleman usher of a colored rod, except for one since July of last year. The Order of the British Empire is not headed by a gentleman usher. Why is that?
It's a lady usher.
Yes.
An usherette. She comes around. She comes
years.
With comes around with a tray and cigarettes and candy.
Dame Amelia Fawcett is the
That's great.
Lady usher. Yeah.
I had no idea.
Follow the House of Usher. Yeah.
Thanks, guys.
Thank
All
you.
Right, thanks.
All right.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is me.
It is you.
So I have an answer, or possible answer, for the English site, Stonehenge.
Not Stonehenge. Everybody thinks it's Stonehenge, but it's not, actually.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
I have some answers for the cars.
Okay.
The Stingray.
Stingray, yes. Yeah. Very good.
The Monarch.
A is what? That named after a monarch butterfly?
Mercury Monarch. Yeah, it was there.
Oh, why not?
Okay. The Cobra.
Cobra, oh, yes.
The Cougar.
Cougar, yes.
Sure.
I got that. Yeah, we got
that. You got that already?
Yeah.
The Spider.
Oh, there is a Spider, yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. And I guess that's it.
Okay, thank you.
That was a lot of bells. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, you're welcome. And if we have a line open if you'd like to join us. Area code 415-841-4134 at Minds Over Matter, 415-841-4134. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, this is Lynn in Reno, and I had a guess for the animal and the car, and I was going to say Shelby Cobra.
Right. Good.
And then I had a guess for the composer. Could it have been Igor Stravinsky?
Not Igor Stravinsky.
Ooh,
that's
guess,
a good guess.
Yeah.
Okay, then. That's all I have.
Thanks, Lynn.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And could it be Schoenberg?
No.
Okay.
Too experimental. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, is this me?
It is you.
Hi. I have a question.
Yes.
What were the first, the two actors that the producers of the TV series Columbo first considered to star in the main role before Peter Falk?
Well, Bing Crosby, I've heard that. They offered it to him.
That's one.
He would have done a good job. Let's see.
Nah, not really. I don't think he did.
No?
No.
Who else? Who else did they offer it to?
He wouldn't have played a kind of a shabby character like Falk.
Can you give us a hint on who the other one is?
I'm not sure. I think that might be a little bit hard to do without giving it completely away.
All right. So. Now the only one I've ever heard is Bing Crosby. I mean, I'm sure there are others, but yeah. So why don't you fill us in?
I just forgot. I was not expecting that to happen.
Well, it happens to me too, so
yeah.
Don't worry about it.
Well, maybe someone else will have the answer. But actually, I wasn't originally going to say this, but while I was waiting, I actually thought of an answer for the car.
Okay.
The Ford Maverick?
Yeah, there was a car called the Maverick. Right. Very good.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks.
Thanks. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Denise in San Francisco.
Hi, Denise.
Hi, has anyone guessed Jaguar or named Jaguar for the car?
Oh,
that's a good one.
Pretty awesome. Yeah.
Very good.
And some big guesses, Catcher in the Rye?
Yes, Catcher in the Rye. Did that come up?
Somebody
got it. But you're right, Catcher in the Rye.
Oh, someone got that? I must have missed it.
But that's okay. That's on the list.
To Kill a Mockingbird?
To Kill a Mockingbird.
Oh, yeah, that's always,
very good.
Always named, yeah.
And A Farewell to Arms?
No, not that.
Okay, now for the sites in the UK, I lived there for 8.5 years, so I feel like I ought to be able to guess one of them at least, but Stonehenge would have been my first guess, too. I know it's not one of those. Didn't you say one was in Scotland?
No, I just said the list included Scotland, but of the top two, the outside of London, neither one is in Scotland.
Well, I don't know how you're... I mean, does it have to actually be a specific site, or could I guess the Lake District?
That is one of them.
Oh,
the Lake District. Very good.
Well done.
Good. I'd be humiliated if I didn't get one after all that time.
Yeah.
What about the Cotswolds?
No, not that.
That's how I would guess, too. Yeah.
Okay. Salisbury Cathedral?
Nope.
And then, well, would whole cities count? Because there's Cambridge and Oxford.
Yes, but neither one of them.
Oh.
Okay. I'm probably going to feel silly when I hear the others, but I can't think of anything else.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye.
Bye. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi. Just a comment to Jerry. Bing Crosby was pretty drab in Country Girl.
Well, that's true. That's true. Okay.
The English site, could it have been Greenwich?
Not Greenwich.
Ah. Okie doke. Thanks.
Thanks. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter. Are you there, caller?
Hello, this is Brad from Oakland.
Hi, Brad, you're on.
So, cars, the Bronco, does anybody say the Bronco?
Bronco.
No, good.
All right, good.
I got a couple of wrong guesses for English tourist sites.
All right.
I was going to suggest Oxford College or Cambridge College.
Neither one.
I'm amazed
Cambridge
at
University.
Oxford.
This is not. This is nothing academic. I will say that.
All right. How about the White Cliffs?
Not that either.
Great.
That
guess.
Is a good guess.
Oh, odd guess. Now, I think that the question about the Jewish the Jewish movie, I think Benny Goodman. There's a Benny Goodman story. I don't know who starred in it though.
Steve Allen,
and it's there was a movie called The Benny Goodman Story, but it wasn't no it, best actor.
No
came
best.
From
no,
it.
That was not
oh, okay.
best anything.
Yeah.
Right.
But he was Jewish, right?
Oh yeah.
Best music.
Right.
This is probably wrong for composer. I'm going to say David Byrne.
Oh, for the Time magazine?
Yeah.
Yeah, but no, not David Byrne.
Oh, my God. Okay, and then Catch-22, Joseph Heller?
That is not on the list either, I'm afraid. No.
Well, did it drop off?
It has not been on.
Well, there you go. Okay, that's it for me.
Thanks a lot.
Let me interject a guess. Is the 19th century book Scarlet Letter?
It is not.
Okay.
It is not. It's a book that appeals to a lot of different ages.
House of Seven Gables.
No.
The Marble Faun.
Nothing so, it's not that downbeat.
Okay.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello.
Hi, you're on.
Okay. It's Lisa in San Francisco.
Hi.
So I'd like to guess A Tale of Two Cities for your favorite book list.
No.
All right. For your question regarding most populous nation without...
Yes.
Could it be Japan?
It is Japan.
Oh, of course.
Well done.
Yes.
Give the woman a bell.
Very good.
For your most visited tourist site outside of London, could it be... this is so embarrassing. Where they landed on D-Day.
Oh.
Normandy.
You remember where they left.
Normandy.
Yeah, but no. That's
okay.
No.
And car critters.
Critters.
I'm thinking Roadrunner.
Oh, I think there was a Roadrunner. Yeah, right.
And I'm thinking the Falcon.
Yeah, very good.
And lastly, I don't know if you think a gremlin is an animal. But
no, give me credit for it anyway. All right, we have to go. Thank you very much. All right, time to clean up here. Jerry?
I think I'm cleaned.
Okay, Josh?
So the two actors who won Best Actors Oscars for playing real-life Jewish people, one was Jeffrey Rush for Shine, and the other, shame on you guys for not getting this, Sean Penn for Milk.
Okay.
San Francisco.
Right. The
African capital of begins with K is Kampala.
The first classical composer to appear twice on Time magazine's cover, Richard Strauss.
Oh, really?
Yeah, okay. 1927 and 1938. The two most visited non-London tourist sites in England, the Lake District and the Blackpool Pleasure Beach, with the largest roller coaster in Europe is there.
Never heard of it.
Yeah, Blackpool's a famous tourist
trade. Yeah, I've heard of that.
Okay, the Harris Poll of America's Favorite Books. Here are the 10. The Bible, Gone with the Wind, Harry Potter series, The Lord of the Rings series, To Kill a Mockingbird, Moby Dick, Catcher in the Rye, Little Women, nobody got, Grapes of Wrath, and The Great Gatsby. The three authors that dropped off since 2008, Stephen King, Dan Brown, happy to hear, and Ayn Rand.
Oh, really?
Yes.
So, all right. Progress.
Yeah, finally.
Progress.
If we didn't get your call, we do apologize. Please remember that Minds Over Matter is here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Our panel tonight is author Jerry Nachman from the San Francisco Chronicle, Joshua Cosman. Thank you very much, Josh.
Thank you for having me.
Our thanks to Debbie Kennedy and Steve Wilcott for handling the board and phones. My name is Dana Rodriguez. I've been your moderator. Thanks a lot, everybody. Please join us next Sunday at 7. Take care. Bye-bye.